Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Milky spore is one way to combat one of the worst pests that can invade your garden, but is it effective? I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we've got a question about milky spore from Dennis in Bloomington. Now, he submitted this question on our website, wglt.org/grow, and he says he's currently midway through a two-year application of milky spore, one bag per spring, one bag summer, one bag fall, for 2 years of milky spore to control Japanese beetles. He's got a bunch of fruit trees in his backyard, and he's really concerned about the stone fruits, particularly plums, whose foliage get really damaged by the bugs. Now, he's used pesticides in the past. They don't seem very effective because the beetles can move around and that sort of thing. So he prefers not to use chemicals, but he's wondering if milky spore is a waste of time. So what do you have to say to that, Murph?
I do not believe milky spore is a waste of time.
Okay.
It's a gift to all of us, really. And for the biologically inclined people, Paena basalis papilei is the genus and species of milky spore.
Uh-huh.
So this is a living thing, and it's a bacteria that can be found in the soil, and it creates a disease that is common and specific to white grubs, and we know those as grub worms that destroy our lawns, and also to Japanese beetles. And both of these insects have a life cycle, and that is really important and ultra relevant to how we use milky spore.
Okay.
So I can kind of take you through the basics, and I might be able to make some lemonade out of the question, because the good could be yet to come. So it takes 1 to 3 years for your milky spore applications to reach peak performance and to have a spore population that is increasing annually. You can, there's vectors in the lawn and the plant roots that the beetles and the grubs feed off of will, over time, after the first year or two worth of applications, they'll kind of poison whatever eats on them, and then when they die, the milky spore will continue off of the remains of that dead beetle or grub.
That's effective.
So it's a little bit like the mycorrhizae in the soil that connects all the roots together. This is a beneficial part of the soil profile.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is organic, it's safe for pets and people. And once you have established it, it can be lasting and effective for 15 to 20 years.
Wow.
So that's why I think it's worth the time. So here's what you need to know about it on the specification side of things. Milky spore can be applied spring, summer, or fall, but late July into August is best, as the white grubs and the juvenile beetles are closer to the warm soils at the surface.
Okay.
So you would want to apply the milky spore 3 times per year for 2 years. And those applications are in that late July through August window, because that's when the beetles, or the juvenile beetles, and now the developing grub, they're going to start moving upwards into the soil where your milky spore is located, and where it is also being taken in by the plants whose roots are in that same area.
Okay.
So once the roots have access to the milky spore, it becomes poison for the Japanese beetle and white grubs.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. And this week, combating Japanese beetles with milky spore. It sounds like it's a pretty good idea.
I think it's a great idea. And thinking about the question and it being a waste of time, how could that have happened? It could have happened by applying it too late or too early, mm-hmm. based on that initial window of opportunity. It could also be lessened in effectiveness because the grass was mowed say 7 days or less after it was applied to the ground. So then it's been picked up by the mower and lifted by the wind and carried and scattered. So when you do apply it, it is important that you use a teaspoon every 4 feet.
Wow.
In rows 4 feet apart, so you're creating a grid on your open lawn areas, as well as what you can migrate into your planting areas.
Right.
So you just want to extend that whole thing through there. And if you don't have irrigation, you can try and do this in front of a rainfall. We know that's difficult to predict the weather because the experts are still struggling with it after all these years.
Yes.
Or you could just plan on irrigating with your irrigation system or a hose end sprinkler, mm-hmm. and help force that product into the soil layer beneath the mulch. We've talked about that on Grow. So if it just stays in the thatchy mulch area, it's not going to do much. It's got to get into the soil.
Right.
And I've seen people use a little teaspoon on the end of a 4 foot stick. That way, each time you reach out to dump it, you know, you're moving forward and you're dumping it 4 feet, 4 feet, 4 feet. That's really important thing to do.
Really?
Yeah. So, and I also think we should talk about the Japanese beetles here in the Midwest are a lot more than a casual pest. Nowadays, they are prolific.
Yes.
And in a lot of places, the very traps that people set out to control them actually creates more.
Because yeah, it brings them in.
Yeah, when they die, they release, I think it's a pheromone
yeah.
that attracts others. So, you know, if there's nothing there to kill them, once you bring them into your kill zone, you're just going to have more because they mate mm-hmm. instantly, yeah. right? So you got to stay ahead of it. So
yeah.
for the person that applied the milky spore when they noticed the Japanese beetles, you got to wait a year.
Wow.
And then you got to keep on applying. And if you've interrupted that, you should really start all over. So it's important to get that product on the ground, watered in the grid style fashion.
I'm curious. I mean, milky spore sounds awfully helpful. I mean, even if you don't have a problem with Japanese beetles, I mean, they're around in the summertime. Would it be preemptive just if you buy a house, just put in milky spore regardless?
I think if you're a gardener and somebody that loves a lush lawn, because that was the catalyst for milky spore, was to help control grub worms.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time in landscape history, the white grubs were the main problem, and this inundation of beetles was not common like it is today. So I think that it is a good use of your time. Protect the investment of your lawn. You know, so if you have a good lawn, it helps lots of other things in your garden, and it's inexpensive. So absolutely, I think it's something that you could do preemptively and still recognize the tenets of integrated pest management, and that would be to only use inorganic chemicals and pesticides when the organic ones are not effective.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you don't need a license to buy this. You don't need a lot of PPE.
Do you have to, like, wear protective gear, like a hazmat suit or anything like that when you apply it?
You really don't. The only PPE that's recommended are gloves. But I think
that's just good sense.
Yeah, I think if you're spreading anything, you should also have on long sleeves, cover your skin and your eyes.
And if you're using an actual teaspoon, do not use that teaspoon in your kitchen.
Oh, definitely
that's
not.
Just for the garden.
Definitely no milky spore casserole.
Okay. Dennis, thank you so much for your question for GLT's Grow, and good luck with those fruit trees in your yard. Now, coming up next week on GLT's Grow, I know it's the time of year you're anxious to get out there and get planting. You're looking at seed websites and catalogs. Well, don't shop for the same old seeds for your garden. Murph has some new ideas for exciting new plants to try. Shake things up a bit. That's next week on GLT's Grow. If you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you. Submit those questions on our website, wglt.org/grow.